so good to see you this morning, church. I want to hear you sing this morning. What a privilege we have in this great country of ours to worship and celebrate. Let's do it. Our God will reign forever, and all the world will know his name. Everyone together, sing the song of the redeemed. I know that my victorious in him. Amen. Sing with me, please. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. thank you, Heavenly Father, for the life that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the opportunity in this great country that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ in one accord. In Jesus' name, we celebrate. In Jesus' name, that we can shout hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we can praise our Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day. Do a great and mighty work. The precious, powerful name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So glad to have you here today. So glad to hear you singing and seeing you worship the Lord together. If you're our guest today, we just want to say thank you again for coming and choosing Faith Princeton to come to worship together. Cassidy, it's good to see you this morning. Good to see you. Cassidy was in a car wreck the other day, and God protected you. Still stiff and sore and everything, I guess. God bless you. Continue to pray for you. Good to have you here. In spite of it all, right? We give them praise. If you're our guest, we'd encourage you just to fill out that tear-off portion, the Connect card there in your bulletin, and take it back there in our Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you. And we do have something special coming up next week, too, is our Exploring Faith Luncheon. Kathy, I'm going to jump ahead in the announcements. Our Exploring Faith Luncheon. If you're interested in learning more about Faith Princeton, what we believe the Bible teaches, and the ministries here that God has entrusted to us, we encourage you to let us know. We invite you to our luncheon next Sunday right after church. It's not next Sunday. It's two Sundays away. I tell you what, y'all come join us for lunch. We'll tell you about the church today. How's that? I want to get y'all here and plugged in. But anyway, that's two Sundays away on the 19th. Let us know that you come, and we'll have plenty of food. And we just want you to spend about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours with us. It's 2 hours that afternoon. I promise you, 2 hours. All right, Kathy, let's go back to the script. Shall we do that? Today's name tag November. If you've not filled out your name on a sticker here, Pastor said men's breakfast that we're getting older and we forget things. And so I know, Bob, you were right when you said that, when you were telling everyone. But if you will, wear a name tag, and Stan will tell you as well. If you have a name tag from work and you want to wear that, let us know what you do for a living. That's fine as well. But all through the month of November, there's name tags back there in the Welcome Center, and please put that on. Next Sunday, two things are happening. We're celebrating our 52nd church anniversary. We praise the Lord for that, and the privilege to be a part of Faith Baptist Church for several of those years, and I know you're excited about that as well. We're having lunch right after church next Sunday. So, guest, you come back next Sunday, we're going to feed you. You come back the following Sunday, we're going to feed you again. How's that? That's what we do in a Baptist church. But next Sunday, invite your friends, and let's pack the house out, and we'll go back over to the gymnasium for a wonderful lunch and just spend time in good fellowship together. That's next Sunday. Next Sunday also is we're collecting the last day to collect boxes for our Operation Christmas shoebox drive. And Kathy, I think I read last night on Facebook there's 81. Didn't pack 81 boxes. There's 90 right here. And we praise the Lord for that. I saw some collecting other boxes and taking them out to your car today. So if you haven't done so, we have boxes for you. And there's 3 boxes left, and they're over next door. So if you haven't gotten a box, we encourage you to do so. If we run out of boxes, we'll do our best to get you a box. How's that? So if you have that desire to be a blessing to a child across the world, let us know, and we'll help you do that. All right, so next Sunday is our collection day for that. And if I can get back on script, I think I'm way off script. This Wednesday night is our last Wednesday to practice together with our worship choir. We practiced last week. If you'd like to sing with us next Sunday, we're putting together a worship choir. Our children will be singing with us on a song, Old Church Choir. And then we'll have adults and students and children all singing up here. And looking forward to that. Come this Wednesday night at 7:15. And if you can't sing, we won't give you a microphone. No pressures. No, not that big. But we want to just pack this platform. As a matter of fact, this last Wednesday, it was pretty packed, wasn't it? So if you have a desire to sing with us, come this Wednesday night, and we'll get you up there and sing along with us. All right? Pastor, do you have anything else that I've missed this morning? We have other opportunities of fellowship. The ladies have a breakfast coming up here in a couple Saturdays. Christmas Bible school is coming up as well. We need volunteers to help serve in that Bible school. So many opportunities to serve, many opportunities to fellowship together. Jim has got a scripture he's going to come up and share with us this morning out of the book of Acts.
In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, a story that we're all real familiar with. I would like for you, as we read this morning, think about this man, his perspective going into this, and how he received the miracle that was offered to him, and how he reacted once he received that miracle. But this is one of those stories that I just rejoice every time I read it. But Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 says, "And one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from his birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who went into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them." And I go stop right here. He was expecting to get something from them. He had his hand down. He's going to get something he wasn't expecting. Our God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But he expected to get something from them. And verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And Peter took him by the right hand and he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong." And just notice this. It didn't say that he just kind of crawled up or anything. He felt strength come to his feet and ankles. And it says, and he jumped. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Expect much from our God.
Thank you, Jim. Let's all stand together. Only by the name of Jesus we are saved. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this special hymn. testimony. You just saying Jesus saves. Is that your testimony? Amen. What a privilege it is to share our testimony with others, to share what Christ has done for us with other people. Another, why did we sing a lot of hymns today? I don't know. That's what God put on my heart. Don't have a clue. But I just noticed we're singing hymns this morning. It just dawned on me. And that's okay, isn't it? I love to tell the story. Hopefully this is your testimony as well.
Turn to your neighbor and tell them the old story. Just in about 30 seconds or a minute, turn to your neighbor and tell them the old story. I'll give you a minute and a half. How's that? How many of you were honest in that song when you were singing that song? That you love to tell the story. And that's one of the things, a lot of times we sing songs that are really, they are true to us. But sometimes we forget what that truth is. And the loving to tell the story, if someone says, okay, tell me the story of Jesus, you should be, if you love to tell the story, you should be ready, right? ready in season and out of season to give an account of the hope that is within you. And that old story may start at a different place for you than it starts for me, but it always gets to the same place. And where's that old story always going to get to? There is a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And there is no other name but the name of Jesus by which we must be saved. We've been in this Finishing Well series that we shared down in Costa Rica during our pastor's conference. And one of the topics that we talked to the pastors and their lay leaders about was being a mission-minded church, because when we're talking about finishing well, it's very important that we know what we're finishing, what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, and making sure we're going the right way. You remember in that Hebrews 12 passage, it says, running the race that God has set before us. Jim and I talked about this last week after the sermon and just really emphasize, and we've got to be on the race that God sets before. So we can do a whole lot of stuff, but if we're not running the race he sets for us, we'll be just spinning our wheels or fatiguing ourselves. And so if we're going to finish well, we have to be a mission-minded church. We have to make sure we're keeping the main thing the main thing. And of course, it's always about bringing glory to God. But what is the mission of the church? You know, several years ago, we came up with this mission statement based on things we see in the scriptures that refer to what a church is supposed to be. And let's read it together, the mission of faith. Faith Baptist seeks to be a loving, praying church that leads the lost to Christ Jesus, builds up his body of believers, and gives glory to God in all we say and do. So let's do it again. Faith Baptist seeks to be a loving, praying church that leads the lost to Christ Jesus, builds up his body of believers, and gives glory to God in all we say and do. You know, that was something that we had encouraged people to memorize. And we also, I have a little song that I put it to and everything else so that it's easier to memorize. But, you know, in our lives, we need to understand what our mission is. And if you remember, we always, in our mission statement, when we print it out on something, we usually put in the parentheses, see Colossians 3:17. And if you don't know what Colossians 3:17 says by memory, read it when you're walking out this morning. It's the one that we have printed on our floor in there, because when we opened this, we said, you know, we want to make sure we're giving glory to God in all that we say and do in the name of Christ Jesus. And so that's what that passage has been, kind of a guiding principle. A lot of times around here, when somebody says, you know, we ought to do this, or why don't we do this ministry or do that ministry? And one of the first questions we always ask is, how does this glorify God? How does this accomplish the mission that God has given for us? Because there's countless things we can do. It's one of those of narrowing it down. By the way, I picked up something on the desk over there yesterday morning. Actually, I saw a stack of cards. You know, it's that birthday blessing, I think, that the women's ministry's doing. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. And they're going to go out, eat breakfast together, and each of them are going to decide an offering that they can give. And they're going to bless whoever waits on them. And by the way, if you're a waitress at one of the local restaurants, come my way, you know. But they're just going to go out in the name of Jesus and have a good time of fellowship. But then they're going to leave as an offering more than just a regular tip, just a kind of a from their heart, we just want to do this to bless your life today in the name of Jesus. Man, that's cool. That's being on mission. I mean, we had men's breakfast this morning. Like Charles said, Baptists love to eat, you know? So when we're getting together to eat, why can't we be on mission and pray together? The Gideons came this morning And Dick and Joe came and shared with us the mission of the Gideons and just the opportunities there are. And you know, that's one thing I love about the Gideons. They have a mission. They want to get the word of God into people's hands and share the gospel with them and pray for churches. And so the Gideons, when they get together, and Charles, do you get those emails too, or do they just come to me? That I get an email at least once a month saying, Pastor, we're praying for you today at our meeting today. They pray for all of our evangelical pastors, and we're on a schedule. They have the names of those pastors, and I get an email and said, Pastor, in our camp meeting today, we prayed for you. And man, that means a lot to me. And while I'm on that subject of praying for people and letting them know you're praying for them, if you took one of the prayer cards for our teachers, make sure you send a notice to them to say, hey, just wanted you to let you know I'm praying for you today. Just to their email. Just, hey, teacher, I'm praying for you. I know this is a hard time of the year. Talked to a couple of our teachers, and, you know, we're coming up to Thanksgiving break, but you hadn't had a break since the 1st of October, and you've got this long time. The kids are getting restless and everything else, and so just let our school teachers know you're praying for them, and actually pray for them, by the way. I mean, that's part of our mission, right? That we're called to be a house of prayer. So a couple of things, and when I think about our mission statement that we adopted, what we feel like the Bible teaches us, I really feel like our mission comes down to two main things. And a lot of us know that this is not going to be anything new for if you've been in church for a while. It's just a reminder of the fundamentals of our mission. The Great Commandment, or commandments, and the Great Commission. And those two things. And so a mission-minded church is going to be on a mission to love. And that's found in Matthew chapter 22. So turn to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 34 through 40 is what we're going to read. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And again, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, all of those were trying to test Jesus, trying to trap Jesus. And in verse 34, it says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole of the law and the prophets. Jesus says when it really comes down to it, all the Old Testament can be wrapped up in one word, in a twofold expression. That one word is love. The twofold expression is first to God, then to everybody else. Love the Lord your God. Love, the word love, agape, God's kind of love. Now, there's other words in the Greek language for love, for like, you know, I love chocolate. That's probably not God's kind of love for chocolate. I'm not going to lay down my life for chocolate, but I do love chocolate. And so that's we use that word kind of flippantly. Then there's that love that I love my wife. I hope that in the 41 years of our marriage, it's not just been I love my wife as a physical attraction, but I agape love my wife. I will lay down my life for her. So both of those loves can come into play. And then there's that idea of brotherly love as well. But this is that God's kind of love. I like how somebody described it. Desiring what God prefers. A lot of times we think love is about what I prefer, what I feel, what I want, what I desire. That's what my love is. I want to find somebody that I can love that looks good to me, or acts good to me, or treats me well. Love is not about what you prefer. Love is actually desiring what God prefers, and that's to bless others, to be outward. God's love, and God is love, and is always expressed to others. Love is never about you. It's always about others. And so it's that idea, he says, love God. Quit loving yourself and love God first and foremost. And he says, with all your heart, and that's a word that, the word heart is used 400 times in the New Testament and never about the physical pump inside our chest. It's always about what is it that's driving you. Our heart is what drives us when we think about it. It can involve the emotions, but it's really more about the volition, the will, what I decide to do. Love is an action that we decide to give to someone else. And so when he's talking about loving God, it's something that, and by the way, I said 400 times in the New Testament, it's over 800 times in the Bible. And if you think about the Bible describing God is love, it's pretty important, right? And so he says, if you're going to let something drive you in your heart, make sure it's love for God. And then, you know, loving him with all our soul. And by the way, the Greek word for soul is the word we get our word psyche from. And it means what makes you, you. What makes Jim, Jim. You know, what makes Kimberly, Kimberly. It's not the outward appearance that makes Kimberly, Kimberly. It's who she is on the inside. The personality, the person. Because our outward appearance changes. By the way, look to the person next to you, especially if you've known them for a while. Do they look the same as you first met them? No, you know. And just turn to them now and say, you are so much more beautiful than when I first met you. You know, it's not the outward. The world thinks love is about the outward. God says love is about the soul. Who the person is. And no matter how they change outwardly, it's about knowing that person on the inside. And he said, for us, everything we know about ourselves, everything that God created us to be, is supposed to be given back to God in love and in worship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all you are, and with all your mind. And some gospels say, and with all your strength, every bit of physical activity you can do. But that idea of mind, making sure that our minds belong to God. And we do that by putting on the helmet of salvation that we read about in Ephesians 6. Everything you think about should be covered under, I love God because he saved my soul. I belong to God because he saved my soul. Everything about me, I want to put his word into my mind because I love God because of my great salvation. I love to tell the story of what has happened in me. So again, this is not new. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like unto it. Look around this room. Which one of these people are you supposed to love? All of them. Y'all are so good, you know. Now, look out. We can't look outside these windows, but with your mind's eye, look outside the windows to the person that lives next to you on either side across the street. Look at the person you're driving next to on 380 that just cut you off in the traffic. Look at the police officers that are coming around in their cars. Look at your firemen as you're passing the new fire station that's being built. Look at the schools and the teachers and the students that are in the school. Look in your mind's eye at the people you work with in the cubicle next to you or in the office down the hall. Look at the custodian that is moving the trash can on the cart down the hall to clean up your office. Look at the Which ones of those do we not have to love? Look at those around the world in the Ukraine. Look at those who just attacked Israel. And those who would want to attack back. Look at those who support terrorism. Which of those are we allowed not to love? We've got to love them all. Now, it doesn't mean loving somebody doesn't mean you support everything they stand for and everything they do. In fact, that's opposite. When you love your children, you don't support them running into the street or putting their hands on the stove or throwing their hard toys at each other, you know. Soft toys are okay, right? That's fun. You know, just throw a stuffed animal at your grandson. There's nothing better, you know. But not the hard ones. You know, the church has really done a disservice to its Lord, because we say we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And by the way, I don't doubt that most of you do. You've given your life in a direction towards God. Now, I know that we all slip and fall, but you've given your life in a direction towards God. But where we've done a disservice is we haven't loved the world like he's loved us, with all our faults and everything. He doesn't support the bad that we do, the sins that we get into, but he does love us in the midst of it all. And the church has been a beacon, a voice of hate in our society for far too long. Now, we need to stand for righteousness. We need to speak the truth in love. And so we've got an election here in our town, and all over the world, or all over our nation, people are having local elections and stuff. Man, we've got to be so careful as believers that we're good citizens and we're voting and we're being part of the process of freedom that we love so much, and that I believe is truly a gift from God in our nation. We've got to be a part of that, but at the same time, we've got to rise above it as ambassadors of Christ to make sure that everything that comes from us looks like and sounds like love. Even when you disagree with somebody, if you disagree with them and it's coming from a place of love, they still know you love them even when you say, I don't agree with you. And so that's, if we're going to be a mission-minded church that actually finishes well, we're going to have to love God with everything we have and everything we are and everything we do. And we're going to have to love everybody around us like God has loved us. I always like that Jesus took this commandment that comes from the Old Testament, and he kind of, when he talks to his disciples in the Gospel of John, we hear him saying, now a new commandment I have for you, love as I have loved you. Not just love your neighbor like you love yourself, but love as I have loved you. A sacrificial kind of love. So if we're going to finish well, first thing we've got to do, we've got to be on mission to love. I don't think anybody should ever walk through the doors of this church, especially, and not leave here. Even if they don't like our message, even if they don't like the Bible studies, even if they don't like any of the music or anything else, but they should never leave here without saying, but you know, those people are crazy about loving people. And here's something that I want to ask you to do as members of faith and as our guest, as you're coming and being a part of this. If you see somebody you don't know, get to know them. I don't know if I can remember Justin's song, but one of our youth ministers, when we first started Name Tag November, he was a terrible singer, but he came up with the song, if you see someone whose name you cannot remember, have no fear, because it's faith. Name tag November, you know. So make sure you wear your name tags proudly and be okay with somebody who, instead of looking you in the eye to say good morning, they're looking at your name tag saying, good morning, Mike. I still think a great book for someone to write sometime, the title, I've shared the title. I haven't written a line in the book yet, but it's, "You Don't Really Love Me Until You've Learned My Name." And for some of us, it's getting harder and harder to learn names. You know the names of everybody you love. So, man, when you're together, when we come together, let's not be offended if somebody asks us their name. And by the way, I apologize to several people this morning. I'm sorry. I don't remember your name. Let's keep sharing and getting to know one another. By the way, if you want to know me better, you know, Charles, I know, is going out with somebody this. We're glad to go out to lunch sometime or coffee or anything and just get together and just get to know one another. It's hard to get to know one another here at church in the hour and a half, 2 hours that we're together. So, please feel free to reach out to me and reach out to one another to say, hey, let's get to know each other. Let's go out to lunch. Let's grab coffee this week. Is that good? Wouldn't that be part of that being on mission to love, is learning who each other are? And then the second one, the mission-minded church will mind the mission. Jesus in Matthew 28, turn to there, and a lot of you know this passage by heart as well. The Great Commission, starting in verse 16, said the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Great Commission. And by the way, authority. Jesus has given us the authority. He said, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose on heaven." I think a lot of that has to do with us sharing the gospel. Nobody else gets to share the gospel message, the message of salvation that sets people free, except for Christians. And he says, "Look, I'm leaving my authority with you as I go to sit at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit's going to come empower you, but the authority is with you. We are the body of Christ. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so we're supposed to be laying down our lives to share. And he says, listen, verse 19, the only real present tense verb in that whole commission is make disciples. Let people know about Jesus and let them follow Jesus. Not make converts to your church, not turn people into Baptists, not turn people into whatever denomination you want to say, not make people follow your guidelines, but make people who want to seek Jesus out in their life. That's what a disciple is, someone who follows Jesus. The other three verbs, or look like verbs, go is actually a participle, means as you are going, wherever you're going. Whatever you're doing, whatever line of race that God has placed you in, whatever the race set before you that you're running, wherever it takes you to, make disciples there. And he says, and when you're making disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, help them commit their whole self to being immersed in Jesus. That's not really about church membership. I mean, it's part of what's involved in church membership is being baptized to show you're a follower of Christ, show you're a disciple of Christ. But being baptized into Christ Jesus in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's the word means to be immersed. And so it's kind of like when you make disciples, help them become immersed, starting with water baptism, but being immersed in their whole life, following after Jesus, and then teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, to finish well as a church, we're going to have to make sure we're teaching God's word, teaching all that Jesus commanded, not teaching our traditions, but teaching what the Bible says that we need to know. Loving to tell the story, the old story of Jesus and his love. And he says, by the way, I am with you always to the end of the age. I made up a new verb for that part, a new participle. So we said going, baptizing, and teaching. As we're making disciples, we're going, baptizing, and teaching, and faithing. Faithing. I guess I could use the word believing, you know. But the idea, he says, remember, I'm with you. Have faith that I will never leave you or forsake you. Have faith that I am there. When you're sharing the old story, it's Jesus Christ speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. He says it more clearly in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It says, when they had come together, they said, Lord, is this at the time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? And this was after his resurrection. The disciples are saying, okay, you've raised from the grave. That's cool. You know, you've been walking with us for 40 days. Is it now time to take over the government? Is it now time that the kingdom of Israel will be exalted and you'll be the king in Jerusalem? You know what I read in this time? I had never really read this before. You know, we're talking about finishing well, the finish line. They were saying, are we at the finish line? Have we made it now? Is this about time for it all to be over? Are we here at the finish line? And Jesus said, listen, it's not for you to know the times or epochs, seasons, ages, whatever you want to call that, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Again, authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. See, a lot of times we want to say, am I almost done? Am I almost finished? I can run for just a little while longer, but man, am I almost there? Jesus, is this the time? And a lot of times we would want to say, Jesus, we see a war starting over in the Middle East. Is this the time that you're about to come back? And Jesus said, it's not about you knowing the times. It's about you running the race I set before you. Doing what I've called you to do until I call you home. Then you'll know you've made it to the finish line. And by the way, I just have to get this out because I've been asked every week since we put this decoration up. Those are not cigarettes holding up the finish line. I'm just going to say, those are not cigarettes holding up the finish line. That's the finish poles, you know, and we like gold at the top. That's gold. So you're not getting a cigarette when you finish your race. You're getting to the end, and you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we want to finish well, we've got to be in the process of what God has called us to. We have to be minding the mission. Here's a question. How many people have you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with this week? This week. This past week from Sunday to Sunday. How many times? And by the way, when I say the gospel, I think God is honored when you invite somebody to church. I hope you'll invite people to come back to the anniversary celebration and all that. They'll get a good brisket meal afterwards, and we'll have a great time of fellowship and celebrating what God has done over 52 years here, and hopefully we're never looking back to say, well, our best days are behind us. We're always looking forward. One of the first things I read about this church when it was first established, I read Jean Ray Cantrell was the secretary of the church, and she wrote, God, when they opened that building 52 years ago, 51 years ago, opened that building, she said, and we just praised the Lord for all that God had done and realized that the best was yet to come. I don't care how great God has moved in your life, the best is yet to come. And if we don't have that on our heart will never finish well, because we'll be looking backwards instead of looking forward to say, what is God about to do? He's expanded this mission field multiple times. I mean, I think when we moved here, the city limit sign said 3,500 people maybe. And now the latest count that we were heard the other day, 26,000 just in the city limits, and probably 43,000 in our district. Our mission field is crazy, just exploding. Are we on mission? Are we minding the mission? And we think, well, you know, what can we do? It's just growing so quickly. What can we as a little congregation here in Princeton, Texas do? And yet when I read this, he says, look, God's got the finish line fixed in his authority. You're about to get power from the Holy Spirit of God to be witnesses to the remotest parts of the earth, which is Princeton. Question is, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to power us up every day? Are we praying up, powering up, and then as we are going, are we being witnesses? And again, inviting people to church is good. Nothing wrong with that. Sharing just general things on Facebook about how good God is and the blessings of God, especially we're coming to Thanksgiving. A lot of you will be posting scriptures and posting things about what you're thankful for. I remember seeing some of you, I don't remember who it was, but posted something every day in November about what you were thankful for. I'm thankful for this. And every day in November, posted a Thanksgiving. Those are good things. But if you have not used the name of Jesus and shared that he's the only one that can set a sinner free, that can bring salvation, we are not minding the mission. There's no other organization on earth that will share the hope of eternity and the salvation of Jesus Christ with the dying world but the church that Jesus gave himself for. I'm not going to go into Acts 2, 40 through 47. It talks about how they were devoted, you know, when they got saved, when the Holy Spirit came, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. That's what it's going to look like when we really are on mission to love and minding the mission, when we're really doing what God's called us to. It's going to look like that, and everyone will have this sense of awe. We'll see all sorts of miracles and wonders taking place. We'll just see God moving in many ways. But a lot of times God's not moving in a church because the church is not moving in God. Does that make sense? Did that come out right? It's because we're not minding the mission that God has given us. And so God's not going to put... I was reading something this week about some things, it was a pastor newsletter. And he said, you know, there was a little church in a town they were in, and they were always fussing and fighting and never could get... You know, it's all about what people wanted and what people didn't want. And they were running off their pastors left and right, and nothing could get going. It's this little congregation. He finally said, you know, that church never grew. Part of the reason they never grew is probably because God didn't want them to. He didn't want baby Christians coming into a mess. And so where God's going to move people into is a place where they'll know his love, they'll hear his word, and they'll be drawn to the Savior who loves them. That's who we've got to be if we're going to finish well. And you know, the things that happen in Acts, we'll see things people being glad and sharing together. By the way, that mean there won't be any trouble, because two chapters later, there's trouble in the early church. Four chapters later. Our salvation message, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, that no one should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Lord has prepared beforehand. He's already got the race set before us. He's already prepared the works. All we got to do is be willing to do what he's called us to do in the first place. Ephesians 4, he says, the reason we come together is to be equipped for the work of the ministry, again, so we can build up the body of Christ and all attain unity in the faith. Ephesians 4 goes on to say, and that's going to continue to happen, so we won't be children tossed here and there by every type of wind of doctrine, by trickery of man, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the body for the building up of itself in love. These are not things that we haven't preached this year and last year and the year before. Question is, are we a mission-minded church? If we're a mission-minded church, the church as a whole will be on mission to love and will be minding the mission. But if we're a mission-minded church, each member of this church will be on a mission to love and will be minding the mission, obedient to the mission. If all the gospel sharing, of all the sharing of Jesus happens from your pastor, we're not going to be able to make quite very much of a dent in this community. If three or four people are on mission to share Jesus Christ, a little bit more light shining in the darkness, but still not much. But if each person in this place said, I'm going to mind the mission, and wherever I'm going, I'm going to let the power of the Holy Spirit fill me so that I can share how important it is to follow Jesus. If you never mention the name of Jesus to someone you're trying to witness to, you've never witnessed a gospel-saving witness. It's about Jesus because God made it so. Love, God first, foremost. Everybody you see, second. And love them enough to obey the Great Commission and share with them the name that can break every chain. I was trying to remember the words to that miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That's who we're sharing. I hope we finish well. I don't know how long that's going to be. It could happen very quickly. I think every prophecy in the Bible really has been fulfilled in some way or another for Jesus to be able to come back tomorrow. Now, there are some you can read that may need some other things to happen. I don't know all of that, but what Jesus said, you don't need to know that. You just need to be on mission until I call. Either call you home or I come back to call us all home. My prayer is, if Jesus tarries, that this church will be winning souls to Christ and giving glory to God through the power of the Holy Spirit for many years after I'm long dead and gone, that we'll be finishing well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Help us to be a church that is on mission to love and minding the mission that you've given us. I pray that even now, as we're sharing and as we're in your presence, you'll let us know places where we're not loving you with all our heart, soul, or mind, or strength. Places that should belong to you, and habits that if they don't belong to you, will be given up and repented from and changed into something that does reflect our love for you. And Lord, I pray that we will be, man, really good at loving people. That we will look like Jesus when it comes to people. That we will speak the truth in love, but we will do it in such a way that we draw people to the beauty and the majesty of the story of Jesus and the salvation that he can bring. Lord, fill us with your power. Help us witness what we know to a world that needs to know. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, Lord, I need you. Just think about who it is that might need Jesus and might need to hear that specifically from you. It may be somebody you need to look up from your past that you missed an opportunity before to share Jesus with them. And God has been laying it on your heart, laying them on your heart. And just, man, make a commitment to be on mission. It may be how God's going to use you in your neighborhood to go next door and say, hey, you know, I'd love for you to come with me to my church's anniversary. And, you know, have I ever shared with you why I love Jesus so much? Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, some of you as grandparents need to find a way to share with your grandchildren why Jesus is so important in your life. Whatever it is that God's doing in your heart, we won't finish well as a congregation unless we're listening well to the Holy Spirit who's trying to direct us. Have I told you lately that I love you? I hope you will come next week for the anniversary and stay in fellowship with us. And then exploring faith, if you've been joining with us and want to know more about how to be a member of this church or stuff like that. There's a sign-up sheet so we know how much food to have. Please sign up over there. There's also a sign-up sheet for Christmas Bible School if you'd like to. That's part of our mission. We don't talk about Santa and all those kind of things at Christmas Bible School. We tell them what Christmas is truly about. And it's about Jesus. So if you want to get a chance to share that with children, there's a sign-up back there for you to sign up for that. Thank y'all for being here. As you're leaving this place, you're on mission for Christ Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up and be His witnesses this week. God bless you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.